Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello and welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. So glad that you've chosen to join me today on this Thursday. And you know, if you were sitting here in the studio with us, you would know how convicted I am. People are actually laughing at me as Derek Prince is taking us through this Fruit of the Spirit series. And I'm realizing that I'm just not as patient and as kind as I hope to be. I just don't treat people as I want them to treat me. And today I'm sort of prepared for another season of conviction because Derek is going to be talking to us about goodness and faithfulness in our lives. He's not trying to minister condemnation. I just have some evil strong places in my personality. Maybe you do too. Let's hold our lives up to the Word of God as Derek Prince teaches us.
Today, I'm going to speak about the fruit of goodness. First of all, we need to say a little about the word good itself. This is one of the commonest words in the English language. But in our contemporary speech, unfortunately, we've watered the word down a great deal, and we've used it very cheaply and very carelessly. We've applied the word good both to people and to things that do not really merit that word at all. Now, in Scripture, the word good denotes excellence, especially moral excellence. In its strictest use, it applies only to God Himself. This is brought out by something that Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. And as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and began asking him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." That's a very strong statement. No one is good except God alone. And of course, if that young man did not recognize the deity of Jesus, then he was not really entitled to call Jesus good. So goodness actually is based on a very high standard. It's based on God's standard, the standard of who God is and what God does. That's true goodness, moral excellence, complete uprightness, perfect honesty, perfect justice. If we are to be good in any sense that relates to that, there's only one way that we can do it. The only thing we can do is to become vessels of the life and nature of God. Then God's goodness is manifested in us. When we do that, then we show forth in this world what God is really like. Being good in this sense means living a life that bears witness to the existence of God. You see, to be good is to be a living mystery. It's to be something that people of this world just cannot comprehend. But on the other hand, they cannot deny it. And so the life of goodness, God's goodness lived out in one of his believing people, confronts the world with the existence of God. I remember once hearing the testimony of a man who had served some years in the British Navy. He had gone into the Navy a confirmed atheist. He didn't believe in God. He had nothing but contempt for all forms of religion. He never intended to get involved in religion. But for some months, he was on a rather small ship, only a few men on the crew. And one of the other men on the crew, whom he met every day and shared his meals with and could not escape from, was a committed Christian. This committed Christian did not preach to him, did not quote the Bible to him, but just lived a life of goodness in front of his eyes. Day after day, week after week, month after month, this atheist saw in this fellow crew member something that he couldn't account for. It was a kind of life he hadn't seen. His final comment was this: "I would never have opened a Bible but I could not help reading the life of this man. Eventually, his life convinced me that there must be a God. And so that man came out of the British Navy a confirmed believer in Jesus Christ. What was the Bible that convinced him? Not a Bible printed with black marks and white paper, but a Bible of flesh and blood. The life of a man who lived out his faith without too much religiosity, without too much preaching, just being good. I've said that goodness is really letting your life become a vessel for God's goodness. Then you may ask me, well, how can this be achieved? My answer is, by yielding to God and allowing Him to live out His life through us. I really believe the key is in the word yielding. I want you to hear what Paul says about his own Christian experience in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. So Paul says, how do I live the Christian life? Well, he says, if I were left to do it in my own strength and ability, I just couldn't do it. But he said, my secret is that I've come to the end of myself. I see Jesus there on the cross, and I realize it was really I who died. And now I'm dead, but there's a new person living in me, and that's the resurrected Christ. And so the life that I now live in this mortal body of mine, right here in time and space, in the kitchen, in the office, in the factory, on the highway, the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. And then again, Philippians 1:21, Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So Paul's life was not his own. It was Christ's life lived out through him. He'd come to the end of himself, and he just handed over to Jesus. Ultimately, the only power strong enough to overcome evil is good. There is no other way to meet evil and to overcome it but by good. But good is strong enough to overcome evil. This is what Paul says in Romans 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. Remember, goodness is God's life lived out in you. And the life of God is greater and stronger than all the forces of evil. Goodness is yielding to God and letting Him manifest His life in you and through you.
Now, I want to emphasize that scripture that Derek is building upon. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live. The truth is, we can't walk in the fruit of the Spirit in our own strength. That's legalism, and that will kill us. We need to die and allow the Spirit of God to live through us. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
In the newly released book, You Shall Receive Power, Derek Prince explores the often misunderstood gifts of the Holy Spirit. In his classic, biblically based, and step-by-step style, Derek reveals how God's powerful gift given to believers during Pentecost continues to this very day. How does the Holy Spirit operate? What are the signs that the Holy Spirit is alive and active? What does it really mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now Derek's newest book, You Shall Receive Power, answers these and other questions about the Holy Spirit and its place in every believer's life. And the new book is available for only $9.95. To order your copy, simply call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit brings comfort, discernment, direction, and power. Discover for yourself how the power of the Holy Spirit can be alive in you. Order your copy of You Shall Receive Power and let the timely and practical insight found within these pages help you grasp the nature and purposes of this life-changing gift from God. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. I'm glad you're with us here on this Thursday. We're in a marvelous but convicting series on the fruit of the Spirit. Derek is teaching us about what it means to walk in goodness and to walk in faithfulness and to walk in the character of Jesus. And I have to tell you, there's something new coming in our lives. Let's listen as Derek teaches us.
A little while back in my talks on the gifts of the Spirit, I explained about the three forms of faith that we find in the New Testament. I'll just recapitulate briefly. The first kind of faith I call faith to live by. It's the kind of faith that enables us to live the Christian life. It's based on a permanent and personal relationship with God that supplies both the motivation and the power for the Christian life. The second kind of faith is the gift of faith, listed with the other gifts of the Spirit. This is God's own faith, supernatural faith, sovereignly imparted to us in a situation of need by the Holy Spirit. The third kind of faith is the fruit of faith, an aspect of character, something that has to be carefully cultivated. Now, it's the fruit of faith that I'm talking about today. There are two different ways of translating this particular fruit. In some versions, it's translated faith. In others, it's translated faithfulness. The Greek word is actually the normal New Testament word for faith, which occurs probably well over 100 times in the New Testament. Either translation is legitimate, neither is complete. The word means actually both faith and faithfulness. In fact, the division in our thinking between faith and faithfulness is somewhat artificial, because in the original language of Scripture, faith includes faithfulness, and faithfulness is impossible without faith. In either case, the key thought is in the word to depend. I suggest that you can think of it like a single coin with two sides. One side is faith, the other side is faithfulness. But in either case, the key is in the word depend. Let's take one side first, the side that we'll call faith. Faith is learning to depend on God in every situation and circumstance. On the other hand, the other side, faithfulness, is being dependable. Being the kind of person others can depend on, and that includes both God and people. Let me therefore say a little bit about faith first. Faith is a quiet, steady, continuing trust in God's faithfulness. The fruit of faith does not panic, does not get flustered, does not lose the victory, does not think of turning back and giving up. It's a quiet, steady, unruffled, continuing trust in God. There is one sufficient scriptural basis for this attitude of trust. It's found in Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All right, if we know that all things are working together for good for us, then there never is any reason to do anything but trust. The important thing is that we know we are meeting God's conditions. Now, God's conditions are that we are committed to him and flowing in his purpose for our life. If we know with a certainty that we are committed to God and flowing in his purpose for our life, then no matter what happens, we know that God is going to cause it to work together for our good. So there's never any reason to panic or to give up your trust. Now, the key to this is commitment. I want to read from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. The key word there is entrusted. The King James Version says committed, but either word is equally good. The key to trust is entrusting. If you really know that you have put your life without reservation totally in the hands of God, that's entrusting, that's committing. Then you know for sure that everything that follows is God working out the best for you. So trust comes from entrusting. Now I'm going to consider the opposite side of the coin, faithfulness, being dependable. We need to lay hold of one fact that is stated over and over again in Scripture. God is faithful. I believe that if I had one testimony to leave behind me when I quit this earth and God calls me home, if there was one simple message that I'd like to leave to my family and those that follow me, I could sum it up in those three words: God is faithful. I have proved his faithfulness over and over and over again in my life. I am absolutely convinced that God is faithfulness. Now, the fruit of faithfulness is letting God work out his faithfulness in you. And I want to tell you that that takes practice. It doesn't just happen. All fruit, you remember I told you, has to be cultivated. There's no fruit that requires more cultivating than the fruit of faithfulness, and it starts with small things. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Faithfulness starts in the very little things. So many people have got a wrong impression. They have some comparatively small responsibility assigned to them. It may be at work or it may be in a family. Their attitude is, well, this is such a small thing that it's really not worthwhile giving much attention to. Now, if something big and important were committed to me, then I'd really show what kind of a person I am. Let me correct you. You show what kind of a person you are most clearly when you're taking charge of some small and apparently unimportant responsibility. That's where your character is tested. And in God's kingdom, if you're not faithful in small things, you never will be promoted to the big things. So perhaps you need to check on yourself right now. How faithful are you? How dependable are you?
You know, this is powerful teaching, but some of you might be thinking, now, how do I do this practically? How do I practically look at my life to see if I align with these truths? Well, when we come back, Derek's going to have some very specific questions to help us see, to help us do a fruit inspection in our own lives. There is so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
In the newly released book, You Shall Receive Power, Derek Prince explores the often misunderstood gifts of the Holy Spirit. In his classic, biblically based, and step-by-step style, Derek reveals how God's powerful gift given to believers during Pentecost continues to this very day. How does the Holy Spirit operate? What are the signs that the Holy Spirit is alive and active? What does it really mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now Derek's newest book, You Shall Receive Power, answers these and other questions about the Holy Spirit and its place in every believer's life. And the new book is available for only $9.95. To order your copy, simply call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The Holy Spirit brings comfort, discernment, direction, and power. Discover for yourself how the power of the Holy Spirit can be alive in you. Order your copy of You Shall Receive Power and let the timely and practical insight found within these pages help you grasp the nature and purposes of this life-changing gift from God. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Well, Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Glad you're with us. Hope you've been with us all day and all week as Derek's been teaching us on the fruit of the Spirit. If you've missed any of this, log on to the website at derekprince.org. But right now, get something to write with, because Derek is about to give us some very specific questions that will allow us to evaluate the faithfulness in our lives.
I want to ask you four rather personal questions. First, do you make promises, maybe to your children or your wife, and then break them? You know, one thing I've noticed about some of my Christian friends is they're more faithful to keep their commitments to their employees than they are to their wives. Well, that's not faithfulness. Question number two, do you turn up late for appointments? One thing you'll notice is God is never late. God's Son never rises late, never sets late. It's always on time. Everything that God is responsible for in this universe is punctual. You are not displaying God's faithfulness if you are unpunctual. Question number three, do you let your bills become overdue? You say, well, I was so pressed, I had so many other things to look after, but what about your creditors? Maybe they were pressed too. It's not displaying God's faithfulness to be slow and slack in paying your bills. I have in the past retailed some of my books through various Christian bookstores. Some of them had very fancy names, usually with Jesus somewhere in them. But you know, some of those bookstores with those fancy religious names were frequently 3 and 4 months overdue in paying their accounts. That's not faithfulness. Fourth question. Do you borrow money and not repay it? You know what it says in Psalm 37, verse 21? The wicked borrows and does not pay back. Now, don't get indignant. I'm not telling you you're wicked, but I'm just saying if you're a Christian and you borrow money and do not repay it, there's an area in your life which is not reflecting the faithfulness of God. You might say to me, well, you're talking too much about money. Money isn't important. Money isn't spiritual. Money may not be spiritual, but let me tell you, it's very important. It really is the acid test of our faithfulness, how we deal with our money. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 16 and verse 11. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, and that's a biblical name for money, who will entrust the true riches to you? See, faithfulness begins in the small things, not the big things. It begins in the material things, not the spiritual things. If you're faithful in the small things, God will commit to you the big things. If you're faithful in the material, in money, in finance, in honoring God with your finance, with your tithes and offerings, then God will commit to you the true spiritual riches. But whether it's faith or faithfulness, remember the key is commitment.
You know, as I look at Derek's list of questions, I realize that some of us have almost made a lifestyle out of doing the opposite of what is faithfulness. Do we break promises? Do we turn up late? Do we fail to pay bills? Do we borrow and not repay? We could go on from there. Are we unfaithful to friends? Do we fail to back them? Do we fail to keep our word, etc., etc.? These are issues for us to repent of and to welcome a fresh work of the Spirit. Remember, these are not fruits of your own effort. These are fruits of the Spirit. May the Lord give us a fresh release of all of them. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order Derek's new book, You Shall Receive Power. Available to Derek Prince Legacy Radio listeners for only $9.95. Call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Take a moment to jot down our toll-free number, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can request your copy securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.